Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. We know you'll be encouraged and inspired by this message. For more content like this, you can subscribe here or head over to faithchurch.com. Let's jump in now for an on-time word from Pastor David.
I love this statement. That last statement that Austin made was conquer your fears and soar to new heights. So many times people are struggling still in the areas of their life because they're really never, ever hooked up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to warn you at all campuses, this weekend is going to be a lot like I do on a Tuesday night. We'll actually teach you things out of the Word of God, go a little bit more in depth, and primarily dealing with the area of water baptism, but being also baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of you here are at our campuses today, and you're here maybe for the first time watching a friend getting water baptized. And maybe you felt the conviction of, and that would be the Holy Spirit, who spoke through your campus pastor a while ago, and they gave you that opportunity to receive Jesus. Well, when you receive Jesus, he's living and abiding on the inside of your heart, and heaven would be your home if you died. But there's more to that. If you call now, you get a free gift. Come on, somebody help me. And so the free gift is the power of the Holy Spirit who lives and abides on the inside of you. Now, I'm on the way here, you know, we were in our car, and actually Nicole one-upped me because she rolled down our power windows and bought 2 dozen roses off a guy on the side of the road. And she hands it to me and goes, "Happy anniversary." And I'm like, "Oops." Come on, somebody. But the point being is that Nicole used the power windows. Now, in the way I talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, as in the evidence of speaking in tongues, is the Holy Spirit's kind of like power windows in a car. You could go over there and crank it up like this, crank it up, that's my name, I'm not opposed to it. Or you could just push a button, and that button would allow the Holy Spirit, inside your recreated human spirit, to allow you to live the life of your dreams. So many people are emaciated right now, and they're overwhelmed, and it's showing on the outside what's going on in the inside. Even born-again Christians, people that love Jesus, they just don't have the power window, or in a regular car. Anybody ever been in like a little Ford car that wasn't running too good? Come on, raise your hand. All right, for all the Ford people who are mad at me now, that stands for fixed or repaired daily, right? Right? All right? Come on, go with me on that. Or some dude I know at St. Louis is going to be like, "No, it means first on race day." Okay, so now we're even. But if it's not running right, there's no power there. And then you get like in a sports car that has a supercharger on the inside of it. It gives it the supercharge. It kicks in, and you can tell when it winds up and it kicks in. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's why we believe in water baptism. It is a biblical doctrine to be water baptized. Now, when you receive Jesus right now, somebody could cry upon the Lord in the last minutes of their life, and they receive Jesus, and immediately the salvation is the first step, and then heaven will be their home. But actually, there's a three-step process to really enjoying your life, and that way you're free from all that depression, all that anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, especially right now with COVID-19, and people are locked up, and they've been alone with their family, and y'all never been together so much, and you thought you got along with each other. Now you're like, "I hate you," right? So this really, really happens, and even friends that I know have committed suicide. What's going on? Just because you receive Jesus, sometimes you don't have the power, that impotence, that thing that says, "Man, I'm going to go to the next step," and that comes through water baptism. So salvation is the first step. I think they put it up there for me. Salvation is the first step. Everybody shout that. Salvation
is the first step.
The second step is water baptism. Everybody shout that with me. What is that?
Water baptism.
And number three is being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. So when you go down in water, what you're doing, and we'll read a scripture or two in a moment, you're identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So you're going down with that old sin nature, and then all of a sudden you come back up, and you're identifying now with the nature of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and when he was buried, you're identifying today with water baptism, that you're going to be buried with him, and when he rose again, the victor, not the victim, you're going to do the same thing. So you can go through 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25, realizing you're not the victim, but you're the victor, because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Somebody ought to give God praise today. And it's a real difference maker. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And that's why we went through television to get you. That might be why your friend invited you this weekend. Go make disciples. Yeah. "Go, therefore, make disciples in all nations, baptizing them." Everybody shout that loud at all campuses. Why? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe, I love this part, "all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always. That's why a lot of people don't like to fly airplanes, because the Bible said, lo, I will be with you always. Not high, right? So I have commanded you. So when you come to church, you're learning things that give you information, that gives you power. And now that you understand your rights and privileges of who you are and what you have in Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit is literally living and abiding on the inside of you, then it gives you the actual discipline to be able to overcome that thing that you hate. Don't you hate it when you do stuff that you hate, that you swore you weren't going to do, but you did it again? Have you done it enough to where you're like, I'm not even going to ask God to forgive me till Sunday morning because I'm going to do it again? Raise your old lying hand. Come on, all campuses, right? Well, see, that's our flesh. Our flesh didn't get saved. Now, when I grew up, you know, there was a church that we passed. It was the Baptist church. Actually, we passed many Baptist churches. We passed First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist. And then there was the Pentecostal Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness. There was a lot of churches. And so the brand that my daddy came out of, they baptized in the name of only Jesus. They thought if you don't baptize in the name of Jesus, of course we know that would be fine to just do that, because Jesus is the name above all names. And we know if you say the name of Jesus, you're saying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here, I want to give special emphasis today that this isn't a Baptist thing. This isn't a Presbyterian thing. This is a Jesus thing. And Jesus wants to give you the free gift of the immersion and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But also, here's where I'm going for it, fill with the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people, I've really even thought a lot about it today, even talking about this, because I don't talk about it a lot because some people think it's weird, because I'm actually spirit-filled, as in I pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, weird people make the Holy Ghost weird. The Holy Ghost isn't weird. If you were weird before you got saved, most likely you'll be weird after you get saved. But there are also people that are sane, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who pray in an unknown tongue, and they're ministering to God. And here's the cool thing. The devil doesn't understand that language. So you can have a heavenly prayer language. This is the difference between rolling up the windows, I'm praying all I can, Pastor, I'm doing all I can, I prayed for 4 minutes. Anybody ever prayed and thought, could you not tarry 1 hour? And you said, God, I'm going to pray 1 hour. And then you did 4 minutes, you're like, I'm going to die. So God, how you doing? I don't know what else to say, right? You're quoting the national anthem, you're doing Mary Had a Little Lamb. But the Holy Spirit will give you a supercharger, and now you just start praying in your heavenly prayer language. Now, here's a real cool thing about being baptized, and you're going to get to do that this weekend. You get baptized, and it doesn't mean that when you get baptized, you automatically come up speaking in tongues. So don't worry, but it could happen. In fact, I heard about a guy who one time, he was just a drunk guy that was walking by. Supposedly, this is a true story, and he was walking by when they used to baptize in the river. Anybody ever heard of people like that? And they would baptize people in the river, and this old drunk guy was walking by, and so the pastor's standing there. He said, would you like to find Jesus? And he's like, sure, I'll find Jesus. And so he dips him in the water and then pulls him back up and said, did you find Jesus? He said, no, I didn't. And he dumped him in again. He said, did you find Jesus? He said, no, I didn't. He dips him in again. He said, did you find Jesus? He said, are you sure he's down there? So I love that joke. So when you go down in the water, you're not going to find Jesus. You already found Jesus because, number one, Jesus is your entrance into the Father. But Jesus is your entrance to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one that resurrected Jesus when he died and went to hell. Isn't that incredible that Jesus died and went to hell so you didn't have to die? And then the Holy Spirit resurrected him and gave him power? Come on, somebody ought to say hallelujah today. So the Holy Spirit gives you power. So there is a baptism, and then there's a baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Me and Nicole were in Dallas, I think it was last week, and we were with a brain surgeon, which is very unusual for a homeschooler to hang out with a brain surgeon. How many of y'all know God is good? I'm like, I can't even spell brain surgeon. And we're just having conversation with this brain surgeon. By the way, here's the cool part. When he was he 8 years old, Nicole? So at 8 years old, he was at church in Detroit, and he was in a church where they believed in the power of the Holy Ghost, in praying in the Holy Ghost. And his family was very poor, and they're obviously African-American in this African-American church, and he never thought he could be really anything great in his mind. But that preacher got to talk about the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized. And when he came up and started getting filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told him, at 8 years old, you're going to be a brain surgeon. He said he had to start looking it up because nobody in his family had ever been a brain surgeon. He wasn't even sure he had a brain. Come on, somebody help me right now, right? And so the Holy Spirit, 8 years old, told him that, and it was just dropped in his heart. He would pray about it, put himself through school, and now he's one of the leading brain surgeons in America. And he says when he studied the brain, he said that people that would pray in the Holy Ghost in an unknown tongue, they did a bunch of studies, and research has shown that parts of their brains that never fire, fire, and the reasoning part of their brain shuts up while the Holy Ghost is speaking through them in an unknown tongue. Now, this isn't some crazy man. This is a brain surgeon. He's going to operate on somebody's brain. Let's try this. How many of y'all got a brain? Raise your hand on campus. You got a brain. Look at your neighbor and say, yours ain't that big, but I'm glad you got one. Right? Here's the other kicker. This brain surgeon said one of the things that gives him power is he said when he's doing brain surgery, he said he never goes into brain surgery without going like this. He's speaking in the unknown tongue. That's why he has the success that he has. Now, you might not be a brain surgeon. You might be selling roses to Nicole on the side of the road in Florida. But I'm here to tell you, whatever you do, you ought to do it with the supercharged power of the Holy Ghost, who will teach you things you do not know, who will put you in places and spaces you never thought you would be in before. Who am I talking to today? You need to be baptized in water. And then if you really want to go the next mile, you ought to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Alone, it feels good in Florida. I know it's 49 degrees in St. Louis. So hot, I couldn't wear this until I got in here. It's 98 degrees, but I wanted to make you feel like I was with you. Verse 20, one more time. Teaching them to observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded them. Now, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now, here's also another great benefit about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will make you look smart. You ought to write that down. Twitter that. Please mention me. It's trademarked. The Holy Ghost will make you look smart. All the time, guys, I did not know what to do. And the comforter, that's what the Bible calls him, the counselor, that's what the Bible calls him, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the teacher, he said he would lead you into all truths. Now, Jesus isn't in your heart right now. Jesus, if you read the Bible, it says that he's at the right hand of the Father. So right now, the Father's sitting on his throne. He's not looking down going, oh my God, look at America. It's all jacked up. Did you see the coronavirus coming? No. Did you hear Trump got it? No, didn't have a clue. Did you hear so-and-so got it? Did you hear that guy? What are we going to do? And Jesus at the right hand of the Father going, I don't know. I'm scared. No, God is the Alpha and the Omega. He got the whole world in his hands. Come on, the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world
in his hands.
Look at your neighbor and say, you didn't know I could sing, did you? So the Holy Spirit will teach you. Nothing takes him by surprise. So the Father is sitting at the throne of God right now. Jesus is at his right hand. And the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the teacher, he's on the inside of you. So when you pray over your food, you need to tell the Lord, hey, I hope you like fajitas because that's what we're having today. Here's what I want you to do is be more Holy Ghost conscious than you are self-conscious.
Wow.
Some people are self-conscious. Some people are weight conscious. Some people are unconscious. But you need to be God conscious. You need to know that the comfort of the counsel of the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. And you need to listen to so many podcasts. And you need to go to church so much that you just wake up and the devil says, oh no, he or she is awake again. Because when you're walking around in the earth realm, you're not walking as a normal civilian. You have been supercharged with a power dunamis from on high. And you go walking around going, oh, I praise you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I give you glory. Come on, somebody ought to give you. I give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, sit down. You're taking up all my time. It's my anniversary. I got to go to dinner and then I got to go home. See what I can do with my broke self. I'm coming at you, baby. I got a pimp walk and it's natural. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. By the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're a new convert, new to Jesus, you might read those and go, man, I swear I just read this. I'm thinking Matthew said the same thing that Mark said. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are synonymous gospels. They all pretty much tell the same stories. There are 5 stories that they all always tell. And by the way, one of those is when this story that we're about to read, where Jesus himself is baptized. So while you're reading the Gospels, basically these are 4 different personalities, so they tell the same story, but they tell in a different way. The Lord spoke this to me today when I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, tell people, you listening to me? He said, tell people don't shy away from their own personality. Be you. So when I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost and I talk about a pimp walk, Joel Osteen ain't going to be doing no pimp walk while he's talking about that. Chris Hodges ain't going to do it, but David Crank did it. So if I tried to be them, I would fail, but I got to be me because I am called to be me and I have a unique thumbprint to be me. And so the Holy Spirit oftentimes will speak to you and it won't be in Elizabethan English unless that's the way you talk. He will talk to you in the way of your personality. See what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say, all your personalities. Y'all so mean to each other. Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist is now preparing the way. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written, the prophet said, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching. What was he preaching? Baptism and repentance and remission of sins in the land of Judea and Jerusalem. And he went out and baptized people in the River Jordan. By the way, I've been baptized in the River Jordan. Confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair. Check this out. And with a leather belt around his waist. How many of y'all know that is some kind of sight for sore eyes? Thank God they didn't have Instagram back then. The guy was different. Again, he had a unique personality. John was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey, but he preached saying, there comes one after me that is mightier than me, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I am indeed baptized you with water. Check this out. Baptized you with water. Everybody shout at water. Baptized water. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing two baptisms here. We see baptism in water, which you're going to do at Weldon. You're going to do at Ferguson. You're going to do it at Sunset. You're going to do it in Florida. At all campuses, you're going to get baptized in water. But also there is a second baptism, if you want it, which is the baptism of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you can read a lot about that in the book of Acts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was passing those churches growing up, you know, the First Baptist Church and the Second Baptist Church and the Third Baptist Church and all the different, you know, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, and it was really confusing to me. What does this one believe and what does that one believe? And my dad never really focused a lot on what we didn't believe. He didn't think about what we were against. He thought about what we were for. And I think the world would be at a better place if we did that. But they used to have a testimony service. Anybody remember testimony services back in the day? And they would say, the old saint would get up and they would say, I would like to thank the Lord today that I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I like it. And they might sing a song or tell a story, but they would say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if that was the case at your church, whatever brand you came out of, but I thank God that I was saved. That was awesome. And I was glad that I was sanctified. And whoa, was I ever glad that I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there were times in my life when I didn't know how to pray. Like when my wife left me and I was divorced, living in a Baldwin apartment, a treetop village there. And I was living down there with nothing. All my stuff was gone. And I didn't know how to pray as I ought because I was depressed. But the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and comforted me. And he prayed in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And he told me to drink loads of water and start walking. And I started drinking loads of water and started walking, and I started losing weight. Because how many of y'all know if you drink enough water, you got to do a lot of walking. And then the next thing I know, I felt better about myself. I was hydrated and my self-esteem coming back. And then he led me. Notice the Holy Spirit will lead you in the way that you should go. And he led me to this person. And then they led me to Nicole. And as soon as I saw Nicole about 24 years ago, I knew God was doing a quick work. Come on, somebody out of here. I said, oh, who's that lady? Who's that lady? I said, oh. I said, you look like my second wife. She said, what'd she look like? I said, you. The Holy Ghost will have you at the right place at the right time. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. The Holy Ghost will make you look smart. The Holy Ghost will be the power that you need. And so when you're down, when you're struggling, when you don't know what to do, the reason I'm in this church right now in Florida preaching back to you is I was praying in the Holy Ghost in St. Louis, and he said someday this would happen, and someday is now. And then I was praying in the Spirit, and the Lord told me that he was going to give us a building, and I picked up some keys about 30 minutes away from here. It's a long story to tell you. And on the keys, it just had five 5. Somebody shout 5.
5.
It had 5 keys on it. And I just pray every day, God, give us a building, give us a building. And then a guy came to our church in West Palm and said, you wouldn't want a building if I gave it to you, would you? And I said, is the Pope Catholic? Does a bear sleep outside? Does Nicole like Girl Scout cookies? Come on, somebody out there. And so he gave me, he said, let's go. I said, where's it at? He said, it's in rural Palm Beach, Florida, on rural Palm Beach Boulevard. And when I looked at the keys on the key ring that I picked up at some abandoned building 30 miles away, just as a point of contact, it wasn't just an accident. The Holy Ghost, somebody ought to help me right now, led me to the right keys. And I picked up the keys, and the keychain on the key said Royal Palm Beach. I'd never been to Royal Palm Beach, Florida. I'd never heard of Royal Palm Beach, Florida. And I had the keys, and this man gave us the building. I could tell you story after story where the Holy Ghost, after baptism, coming up, being a new person, no longer will you be a normal person. Normal is over and overrated. Supercharged, filled with the Spirit of God is where it's at. Come on, somebody. It's a roller coaster ride that'll take you up, take you down, flip you around, and it'll be a party. Whoa, I'm preaching good. Yeah. Verse 9. I told you I was going to do what I do on Tuesday nights. Verse 9. It says, it came to pass. Everybody shout that with me. That's a good word for somebody. It came to pass. Coronavirus. What? It came to pass. Your mother-in-law is spending the winter. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John of the Jordan. So if Jesus needed baptism, don't you think you do? If Jesus was baptized in water, don't you think you do? And verse 10 says, and immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open up, parting, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Now I want to make sure we clear this up. Like a dove. Everybody shout, like a dove.
Like a dove.
It was not a dove. It was like a dove. It was a type. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Sounds very close to that. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Notice, God was pleased with the baptism of Jesus. If you want to please the Lord this weekend, you need to say, you know what? I wasn't even ready. I wasn't even signed up, but I'm going out to the red tent or whatever campus I am, and I'm going in the clothes I've got. By the way, we have black pants for you, a black shirt with you. We got everything that you need. We got a towel because we suspected that perhaps at the end of this, you would realize this was the missing ingredient in my life, and I don't wait. What permits me from being baptized right now, right here? Let's get this thing on. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. That some of you right now, the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. And maybe if you're at home online, you're like, man, I'm stuck here in the house and I got a broken leg. I just go baptize myself, fill up the tub, and say, God, I thank you, Jesus, that I receive you in my heart. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And God, as an act of my own free will right now, I immerse myself in this baptism and you come back up filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't have to be a priest or a preacher. It could be, but it could be just you. Come on, somebody ought to shout hallelujah to this. I dare you to say amen. I want to point this out because I'm in a hurry. It says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember when Jesus was tempted by food? Remember that when the devil came and said, you know, command this stone to be turned into cupcakes, whatever it was? Yeah. Come on, don't act like you don't remember this story. And he hadn't eaten it for a long time, right? So Jesus hadn't eaten it for a really long time, and the temptation was food. And then he kept coming to him. And the devil kept coming to him, and he said, aren't you the Son of God? But he left out the beloved Son of God, because the devil will never remind you that you're loved by God. Because when you find out that you're loved by God, even though you've done wrong, how many of you like me and you've done wrong? You're lying in church. Let's try that again. How many of y'all done wrong, right? Your heart was right, but your head was wrong and your action was wrong. Okay, so we're done, but the devil always say, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. You don't need to go to church. You can't get baptized. It's over for you. And he'll never say that you're the one the Lord loves. He loves you. And that's why I love this church so much, is we don't point the finger at you this way. We point at you this way. I beg you today to receive the love of God. Let him know he loves you more than the devil hates you. Your best days and blessed days are out ahead of you. All right, we got to hurry. I got a little slide of drawing that we kind of got up today, and it's kind of messy, but it draws the picture. Number one, it shows salvation, and then the water baptism and then the Spirit. Later in life, we'll talk a little bit about this, but older saints will know, and I just want to show you how cool this is. The Bible had the inner court, the outer court, the Holy of Holies. The inner court, the outer court of Holy of Holies. And back then, you had to go to the altar where there was the shedding of blood. And this is a type of salvation. And so when you receive Jesus, that's it. And then there was the laver, the water laver, which was a type of baptism where they washed their hands. And then the last was the flask of oil. Before they could go into the Holy of Holies where God, the Shekinah glory was, they had to first have the blood of the Lamb cover them. Then they had to have the immersion of the water over their hands. And then they had the flask of oil. And the oil was the type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not oil, but he is a type of oil. Like right now, I'm not sitting here. I had all week to prepare this sermon and a whole crew of people and a lot of work, and everybody did a great job. But at the end of the day, when I got up here, I shut my brain off, and I haven't been using my brain. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of me going, say this, say that, say the power windows, say the flask of oil, say that's all shut off, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through me in my own personality. Remember, we talked about that. And the Holy Spirit will use my own humor, and he will say, I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Now, Psalms 23, write this down. Psalms 23, you remember in verse 5, it said, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with what?
Oil.
Shout it again, class. Why?
Oil.
All campuses, one more time. Why?
Oil.
So your head could be anointed with oil. So every day you need to get up and say, Lord, I thank you that my head is anointed with oil. Now, I want to talk about in the last few minutes, and I have a lot more scriptures. Actually, I'll read a couple just real fast. Let's just go to Colossians 2:12. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Again, that's saying today, it's theology, you are be buried with him in baptism. When you get baptized tonight, you're saying all that old nature is down and the new nature in Christ is coming up. And then we receive power from the Holy Ghost. And again, the power of the Holy Spirit is a thrill. You know, many people are just bored. They're like walking dead people. And then there's people who are led by the Holy Spirit. And these people are enjoying their life. Now, I want to take you to my barber shop here in just a second this week. As you can tell, I got my ears lowered. And there's the guy there that speaks very broken English. And I like him a lot. And I worked on, over the years, the past few years, developing a relationship with him, leading him and some of his guys closer to Jesus, and then also getting him more Spirit-led. And so his very broken English. But this week, I didn't ask him when I wanted to get my hair cut, hey, I want you to pray for my foot. What happened was while he was just doing at the end of it, there's all these people in there that are waiting to get their hair cut. And then he tells them, they're not even saved. And these guys, big old tattoos on all of them. He goes, come on, come here, come here. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. They're not moving. He said, come here, we're going to pray. And so they all gather around me. Watch a guy be led by the Holy Spirit to pray for me. And this is what makes life exciting. Check this out.
Father, today is morning. I want to pray for my brother.
Yes, sir.
And I know you can do something because I remember that day when he's praying for that little girl. And you do something, Father. And for you one today, Father, I'm praying for my brother. In the name of Jesus, you can do something right now. Father, I pray for you porque yo sé que tú tienes el poder, la gloria y la honra, papá Dios. Y en el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret, tú tienes todo el poder para glorificarte, Padre, y sanarlo si es posible, Padre. Ahora mismo, en el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret, in the name of Jesus, Father. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret, yo pongo mi fe, Padre, para que tú, si es posible, sane ahora en el nombre de Jesús. Si es tu voluntad, pon tu mano sanadora, Padre mío, y permite que todos sus nervios vuelvan a la normalidad, Padre mío. En el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret. In the name of Jesus, Father. Amen.
Come on, give it up for that guy. Isn't that awesome? Come on, you can do better than that, St. Louis. Okay, so number one, how thrilling is it to own your own store? So you set your own rules. My boss said I can't pray. Well, buy your own shop so you can pray. And be your own boss so you can do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do long term. That's thrilling. But I want to go to Acts chapter 8. This will be my last scripture before we wrap it up here. Talking again about the power of the Holy Spirit leading you. I didn't ask him to pray for me. He felt led. So the Holy Spirit oftentimes will lead you on, hey, don't sign that contract. Don't send that email. Several times today, I was going to do something, and the Lord's like, no, don't do that, not today. Wait till Monday, because I like to just get it out of my mind. But the Holy Spirit will make you look smart, and he'll keep you from hurting people, because sometimes people don't need to hear certain things on certain days, right? They could hear it. Come on, raise your hand right now. You could hear it on another day, but today you're like, one more thing, and I'm going to pop a cap at somebody. So Acts chapter 8, it says, but now they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, which is what you're going to do today, both men and women. So they're saying it's for everybody back then. Then Simon himself believed. Notice the first thing you have to do is receive salvation. Simon himself believed, and also when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering and beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. That girl get out of the wheelchair. Let me tell you, this is really cool. So this weekend, Ella's story, Ella, the girl that got out of the wheelchair, we were shooting a video about her getting baptized, and you'll see it in a minute. This was all pre-planned for weeks. I wasn't even thinking about it. And when he wanted to pray for me, I just said, you know, I just want to video this while you're praying for me. Because I thought it was so cool. All these tattooed, several of them were in prison when I was witnessing to them. And so, boom, there they are, and they're forced to pray. So I'm just videoing this for my own life. And then when he says, God, whatever he said, that little girl that got out of the wheelchair, he didn't know, and I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew that this weekend, the next video you're going to see was being recorded simultaneously at St. Louis while he was talking about her, who I wasn't thinking about, and he wasn't thinking about. The Holy Spirit was saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all this stuff together and make this fit like you. You would never be able to plan this on your own. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that right there? Hopefully I told that story right to where you understand. It's so crazy. But that's what you'll look back over your life and realize, man, it had to be the Holy Ghost that I live here. It has to be the Holy Spirit that I left 5 minutes late and didn't get in that car accident. I know it's the Holy Ghost that I didn't marry him when you go back to the reunion 40 years later and say, he looks terrible. I got really quiet. I'm assuming some of you made the mistake. Verse 13. We're almost done. Then Simon himself believed, and also he was baptized, and he continued with Philip's, and he wondered, beholding the miracles, the signs and the wonders, the girls getting out of wheelchairs, all the great things that are happening, the fact that our church is successful during Corona, the fact that so many people have financial breakthroughs during Corona, because our church tithes and gives, because that's what God said to do. We observe what he said to do, and then God takes care of you because he loves having advertising programs in the midst of horrible times saying, our church isn't afraid to go to church. Our church isn't afraid of the devil. Our church isn't afraid of Corona. Our church isn't afraid of financial setback. We're baptized, spirit-led, always in the right place. Somebody ought to give God praise. Always in the right place at the right time. Oh. Now, when the apostles, which were with Jerusalem, heard that in Samaria they had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who, when they come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. I want you to really underline that at all campuses. Receive the Holy Ghost. Not just baptism. Receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So baptism identifies with the death and burial and resurrection, and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But he ain't moving and grooving. He's just in there leading you and guiding you. He's in there, absolutely, and he will talk to you. But what I'm talking about also is something I want you to continue to study about and get your appetite wet for, because it won't be too long on a Tuesday night. I'll talk about laying on of hands. Verse 17, one more time. It says, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. That's the doctrine of laying on of hands. Now, I was thinking about today. I thought, well, you can't very well lay hands on people if they won't come to church. I mean, you know, it's hard, but he knew. There's something about the immersion in water. There's something about laying on the hands. And in all of our campuses this weekend, you come down to the front, and there's elders down there and people that we have trained that are under the offices of this church. They'll be at Earth City, Ferguson, Weldon, Sunset, everywhere. And you come back, and they will lay hands on you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can just get it quick. It can be a quick work. But what I really want to drill on is, as we get ready to go to this baptismal video, which I told you about, I want you to get hungry for God. I want you to get water baptized. Even if you weren't ready, do it today. Just do it now. We don't do this much, but this is your weekend. And then have expectancy when you come up out of that water, that thing that used to hold you, isn't going to hold you down anymore. That thing that used to set you back, it isn't going to set you back anymore. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And then when you come up, you could come up, and I've seen this happen a lot of times. Well, people come straight, I've seen a lot of crazy things in my life. People come straight up, some people scream and cry. Some people look like nothing happened. We're not basing it on like, oh, that person really got excited, and that person really didn't get excited. It's not about that. You be you, your personality, let it come out. But I've seen people come right up out of there speaking in an unknown tongue. And if that happens, let it happen to you. But be sure that you allow Jesus to come into your heart, and then be sure you're water baptized. And then the next step is saying, hey, I want to actually be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, give God a hand for his word today.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If it encouraged you, share it with a friend. You never know what the people around you are going through. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we'll be back next week for more resources or to give. Please go to faithchurch.com.